could have got one more chorus, I'd have been all ready. We're glad for the chorus we got. We're so happy today to have Sister Linda Toddy with us in service. Now, Sister Watson's got three of her kids sitting side by side. Two more, and that would be it, right? But we're glad for the three that are here. We're glad to have Linda. I don't even know where you guys are living now.
Tulsa.
Oh, to some people, that was like the capital of the world a few years ago. I've been in Pentecost Church of God a long time, and Oklahoma City and Tulsa were always big because we had a lot of good churches there. Would you greet us this morning? We appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us today, and every one of you. These are our fathers. Now, I didn't make this announcement last week. I was concentrating on getting Dan baptized, and I guess, you know, one thing at a time with me, but I appreciate everyone that brought a picture of your dad. You see this? It's a Bank of America advertisement, but if you have a phone and you have a picture of your dad, you could put it there. I got that from the bank, and I thought, what in the world do I need that for? So I wish I'd have got 100 or so, but I forgot to turn my phone out. If you hear a ringing, I'll turn it off. But I appreciate everyone, appreciate the fathers. My dad was a great guy. He was a good Christian, and I loved him, and I still love him because of all that he did for us. And I know that many of you have the same blessing, and a strong Christian father, and that's a blessing. And we're going to minister this morning on not many fathers. The text will be 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. And then the story. You know, you always have to have a story with the message. So the story will come out of Genesis 22, the first 18 verses, 1 through 18. Genesis 22. But let's first read this verse in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, last week I forgot to announce the Father's Day pictures. Next week, I don't know of anything that I've forgotten. Does anybody want to help me out? Next week is just another Sunday then. We'll come at 10:30 and begin our worship, and we'll have a great time in the Lord. The scripture says in the New King James Version, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, though you might have 10,000 teachers in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. That's Paul's writing. Let's pray. Lord, we ask anointing today upon your word. Anoint me, Lord, as I speak, and anoint your people to hear. I pray, Lord, that everyone that's here will leave encouraged and blessed. Lord, that your Spirit will have touched us and ministered to us, Lord. We want so much for your Spirit to touch our lives. We want, Lord, you to build hope and faith and love within us. We pray, God, today for this word to bring an encouragement, enlightenment. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I remember this scripture from my pastor as a teenager, Brother Mark Wood, and he preached it. He was an older guy at the time, and it was always a blessing to hear him preach the word. He believed so strongly in every word of the Bible. He went into many of a detail about the word and what it held for us. But he was right when he taught that there's a lot of teachers. There's a lot of even preachers. But there's very few that have the compassion and the desire to help others and father them in the Lord. Now, Paul was getting ready to clobber the Corinthian church. They had some issues, and Paul was saying, I'm going to come and visit you, and it's not going to be necessarily that wonderful. And I don't know what you're going to think of me, but I want to start now and get some things straight. And then when we come, we want to make sure that you still are walking the straight and narrow path. But he said that, and he says this so that he might get them prepared to hear him. My dad had ways of getting my attention, and so that I would pay attention and listen. And so he did a good job on that. But I thought of Brother Mark Wood, and then I thought of another pastor of our church, Brother Vernon Smith. He also was in the position of, not only did he, preach and teach, but he cared for younger preachers, and he ministered in a way that, give an open door for. He told me one time, he said, you have more people in your youth group than most pastors have in their church in the district. And at that time, he was absolutely right. And I told him one time, I'm going to leave, Brother Smith. I'm going to go find something else to do. And he said, no, you're going to stay because I'm leaving, and you've got to get the next pastor a little bit of a benefit. And Brother Smith was one that always ministered about, I think, the running board of a 36 Ford. That's where he had a breakthrough with God. And I remember that story, and I appreciate it so much. Brother Clearman was our pastor in Texas, and he's still pastoring Trinity Chapel there in Austin. And Brother Clearman had scripture that he would bless us with. He had one that he ministered several times was, why sit we here? And he was talking about those during the time of a siege where God had given the victory, and these lepers were the ones that were able to take the message of victory. And Brother Clearman also battled squirrels because the squirrels were after the pecans. And Brother Clearman loved to take those pecans, shell them, and give them out as gifts. What a wonderful gift. We used to get a pound or pound and a half, 2 pounds of pecans already shelled, ready to eat, and that was quite a blessing around every Christmas time. And then the last father figure in the Lord, Brother Charles Watson, his picture is right here, two of them. One is a young sailor. I think Brother Watson fought in World War II, and it was a Battle of the Midway one that he was part of. I thought I heard that, maybe not. I don't want to make anything up, because you don't have to make anything up. Brother Watson was a great leader. Iwo Jima, wow. So he fought as a very young man. He was probably too young to be fighting, but he joined up and served the country. And he served as pastor, and he's, to me, one of the best pastors, best examples. If you wanted a textbook of how to be a pastor, Brother Watson was it. He preached with such eloquence and ability, and he was masterful with the Word of God and in the Word of God. And then he could sing. And I remember this song, love grew where the blood fell. And there was many other songs that he sang that he was very good at singing those and bringing blessing to the people. But you have not many fathers. You have a lot of teachers. There's a lot of teachers that are off on the wrong track. And we have to be careful. If the teaching doesn't align with the Word of God, then throw it out. You don't need it. There's no benefit. There's no help. These men that I've made reference to, all of them taught the Word of God and with truth and power. And I believe with all of my heart, these are great leaders. And we appreciate the example, the demonstration of how we should follow and how we should handle our lives and how we should minister the Word of God. Now, I want to go to the story in the book of Genesis 22. Abraham's faith is confirmed with this story, but what a test, what a trial Abraham had. It's one that I wouldn't want to face this. There's a story. I'm going back. How many can backtrack with me? Rewind. Concerning this scripture in 1 Corinthians, years ago I heard a story about a young preacher that was asked by an older preacher if he could come and preach. And he told someone, he said, I can't let that guy preach in this church. He said, I just think his ministry is past and it's over. And it just doesn't seem like the right thing. And I don't remember the names, but I've heard this as being the truth. I believe if it's not, it's a good illustration. Because whoever this young preacher was talking to said, well, you know, that's kind of an odd thing because you owe everything that you have right now to that preacher. He said, what do you mean? He said, he founded this church. And without him, you wouldn't have a place to preach. And where would you be? You'd be somewhere else, no doubt, but he said it's very important to remember and realize that those that have blazed the trail should have the right to come back and minister in the church. I feel strongly about that. Again, this story, I've heard names attached and all, and I don't know all the particulars, but I do know this, that it's an illustration of we need to remember and appreciate people who have opened doors for us and helped us to be where we're at today. All the ministers who have built onto this church, all those who have added to it by preaching the Word of God and strengthening us, we need to value their ministry and appreciate them. Now, back to the story of Abraham. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. Wouldn't you like to hear God say your name? That'd be so good. In this situation, it was good, but very hard what God wanted. And he said, here I am. I like Abraham's response. When God calls, we all should say, yes, God. Here I am. What can I do for you, God? And then he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love. Don't you love your sons, your daughters? This is the first time the word love appears in the Bible. 22 chapters. This was done about 1872 BC. Your only son. Now, how many caught only? Because there was an Ishmael. But God wasn't speaking in terms of sons, but as far as the ones that would be a part of the blessing that God pronounced upon Abraham. And in that regard, it would be Isaac. Isaac would be the hope of Israel. And said, take and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. It Isn't that awful? To have to take your son, the son of promise, and to offer him? What does Abraham do? I know what I'd do. I'd put it off. Because I put off everything, right, Debbie? So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to a place which God had told him. The commentary says he probably didn't tell Sarah what was going on. That would have been the best advice I could have given him. Just hush and go. Just go do what God said. Because Abraham immediately had a faith that if God said to do this, God was going to bring resurrection to his son if he was obedient. I believe with all my heart that's what Abraham was experiencing. So he went early and he went right to the place. With me, I think I'd want to go around the mountain two or three times before finding it. But he went directly where God told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go up yonder and worship. Can you imagine offering your son as a worship? And we will come back to you. And I like the confidence of, and we will come back to you. Because Abraham had such faith in God. And this is a tough request that God asks. Years ago, when I was just a kid, we had a preacher in Alameda, and he was preaching about giving an illustration of how God sent his son and sacrificed his son. And he was talking about a guy that operated a bridge for a railroad. Maybe some of you have heard this. I don't know if I've ever shared it or not, but I've got a different take on it. And whereas this pastor, preacher, was using this as an illustration, he said he told his son to stay close, and he got out and he was down on the part of the bridge that had to be lowered in order for the train to come across. This is one of those squeamish stories. And he said that he called for his son, but he couldn't hear because the train was coming. And the ugly part of this is he had to lower the bridge to save the train. I've always had a different take on this. There would have been a train full of people getting wet if it was my sons that were in jeopardy. And I know it's for an illustration of how God must have hurt giving his son. But if you want an illustration of what it's all about, here God opens to Abraham a revelation of what had to be done to deal with sin. And Abraham was called off of his task, but God was not called off of giving his son. So when Abraham said, the lad and I will go worship, of course, the lad was going to be the sacrifice, and Abraham was going to have to do the most difficult thing any parent could think of. But as we go on, so Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac. You get the symbol of this? To where Isaac is bearing the wood and Jesus bore his own cross as much as he could. And then he took the fire in his hand. I guess they didn't have Bics back in that day, or the light sticks that we use for the barbecue. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham and his father, and he said, my father? Remember when God spoke to Abraham? He said, Abraham? Abraham said, yes, here I am. Well, when Isaac said that, he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look at the fire. Look, he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You know, a lot of people, I've heard this minister that Isaac was about 12 years old. It's probably more likely that Isaac was between 20 and 30. And so when he was being offered, Isaac also had a part of submission. Isaac had a part of obeying what his father felt led of God to do. And Abraham said, my son God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. You understand that what God was doing was bring revelation of God sending his son, and he really provided the lamb. And we look in the book of Revelation chapter 5, and it speaks, and John was crying, weeping bitterly because no one was able to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And the angel said, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And John said, I looked and I saw a lamb as if he had been slain. So Jesus Christ, both the lamb of Judah and the lamb that was slain. And this is a prophetic message of that time, of what Jesus would do a couple thousand years later. Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself. It had to be for sin. The blood of goats and bulls weren't covering it. It had to be the Lamb of God. It had to be God, and it had to be a perfect sacrifice. God will provide for himself the burnt offering. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac. Now, you can bind, I don't know, a 12-year-old might be tough. Abraham's 120 or so. Boy, 120 or so, some of you are, you know, 80s, nothing. 120, 130, and I think Abraham lived at least a few years beyond this. But Abraham bound Isaac, and Isaac submitted, and he laid his son on the altar and upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You know what? I like what comes next. I'm thankful for Abraham's obedience. I know that Abraham had questions. I know that Abraham was confused. What's going on? What in the world is happening? We were so old when Isaac was born, and here he's being required of us. So Abraham was ready to do what God said. And but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. When God called to Abraham the first time, he said, Abraham. And he said, here am I. This time there was an emphasis, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad to do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, I'm going to throw in whom you loved, from me. It's an awesome thing. Did God know? God knew. Now Abraham also knew how committed he was to God and to the plan of God. And it would be the seed of Abraham that would produce a Savior and a Lord, the Lamb that God would accept as a sacrifice. Then verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there was behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. The lamb instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place, the Lord will provide. Now listen, what your circumstances are, it couldn't be any more dire than this. But the Lord will provide. You can look to people and they don't have diddly squat to help you in situations or provide for you, but the Lord has all things. And he's able to do everything. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham the second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn. God speaks to Abraham, by my name I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing. Oh, What terrible, what an awful situation, but what monumental faith in God. What monumental obedience. What do we need to do as Christians today? We need to have faith and we need to be obedient. And these two go together. They're not separated. People talk about faith as some insignificant thing, and then they base so much on things and possessions. Abraham had faith. Abraham is a good example of faith and obedience and what he was asked to do and what he was willing to do. And God said, man, I'm impressed with you, and so I'm going to bring blessing upon you. You have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless. Now I need you to know, God knows how to bless. God knows how to bless. It's not my idea of blessings, it's in the Word of God. He told us if we give, He'll give back to us good measure, pressed down, chained together, and running over. God knows how to bring blessing. God knows how to bring healing. God knows how to bring strength. But blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying. Don't you like multiplying? Multiply. I will multiply. Your descendants as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is on the seashore. God was speaking to Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. That was the ones that he was going to bless. You look at Isaac, he had two sons. Well, you're not doing all that much multiply. But then there was Jacob, and he had 12 sons. And they became the 12 tribes of Israel, and God began to bless, and it is absolutely the case that he has blessed the nation of Israel, and there are Israelis almost in every area, every land that you can imagine. Blessing, I will blessing, and multiply, I will multiply your descendants. Your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in the seed of all nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. I believe what God was saying. I gave you a revelation of my plan of sending my son to die for the world. I've given you a sneak preview of what's going to happen. And I've made you the father of that opportunity in salvation. Abraham is blessed because of his obedience to God. So, this is a message of type and shadow of the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Abraham's a type of the Father. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. When we pray, we can go to the Father and count on the fact that He loves us. And Jesus said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father give good gifts to you? Isaac and the ram typify Jesus Christ. Isaac, of his willingness and obedience. Thank God it didn't come to that. God has never accepted a human sacrifice. I know there's some other stories in the Bible that kind of alludes to that, but God has never required human sacrifice. He tested Abraham with that, and Abraham passed the test. But the ram caught in the thicket, again, was a type of Christ, the sacrifice. Isaac was between 20 and 30 years old. He carried the wood as Jesus carried the cross. When I was about 9 or 10 years old, my mom yelled out, and we lived at 1252 C, 65th Avenue in Oakland. That's right off East 14th, and we went to Alameda Church, and mom called out and said, hey, you're going to be in a skit tonight at church. I said, great. She said, your dad's going to kill you. Now, she had two facts wrong. Number one, it was this skit about this. And Isaac didn't get killed. She needed to clarify that. But that was her, you know, Isaac didn't die. And actually, the skit didn't happen. We went to church and they changed their mind. And I was kind of glad because it took me a minute to grasp that. That didn't seem to go. Moriah is the Jehovah provider, Jehovah Jireh, the same place that David offered sacrifices before God. That's where he said, I'll buy this because I will not offer sacrifices that someone else has paid for or on this land. It's also the site of the Holy of Holies that Solomon built his temple on. And the last fact is, to me, discouraging. It's where the Dome of the Rock is right now, the Muslim temple. Someday, that temple will be rebuilt, and it will never, ever, ever, ever be destroyed again. So Abraham shows us amazing faith and obedience. Now, at this point, because we're going to close out this message, I want to pray blessing upon you. You want to join me? I just have a sense of God needs to bless us. Sometimes we need stirred by the Spirit. Sometimes we just need to be tapped on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm with you. Lord God, I pray blessing on Calvary Temple, upon your people, upon each and every one who is here today. You see the needs. Lord, you see the need. You see the heart. There are some that have broken hearts, and I pray, God, that you heal the broken heart. You'll bind up every wound. Lord, we get hurt all over. We get hurt in society, and we get hurt in church. But I pray that you'll bind up every wound, that you'll heal every broken heart, that you'll strengthen and stir us and give revelation, Lord, to where we can absolutely see your hand in our life. We need you so much. We need your blessing. We need your strength. Help us, oh God. I pray strength and blessing and power in Jesus' holy name. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask Debbie to come and pay tribute to her dad. Some of our dads have gone on, but Jim's sitting right here. So he's a benefit of being present today, and we wish, again, all of our dads a happy Father's Day. Can you give me?
Well, as Jim said, this is about our dad. Our dad, who we've always called Daddy, was born James Arland Wilbanks on March 14th, 1933 in Norman, Oklahoma. He's the oldest of three, with a brother, Ron, 7 years younger than him, and a sister, Jeanette, 14 years younger than him. His family moved many times during his growing up years, and he finally settled in Campbell, where he attended high school and met our mom. He married Mama on August the 8th, 1952, in this very church, and until I was born, they lived in a tiny house on a section of 3rd Street that was removed when the city put in the loop. Then they built a house next door to Grandpa and Grandma Wilbanks in the San Tomas area where Terry was born. We moved to Cambrian Park where we started school and Jan was born. And then we relocated to the west side of Campbell where we lived until we all got married and moved off. Daddy worked as a machinist for Food Machinery where one day on the job, an ice pick laying on a conveyor belt got thrown into his side and punctured his lung. He worked as an attendant at our Uncle Tal's Texaco gas station on San Tomas Aquino Road, and then as an operating engineer for many years for prominent contractors in the valley, and later opened his own demolition and excavation business called Jaws Grading, his initials RJAW. Daddy was sought after to do a lot of difficult jobs. He worked long nights for many months repairing the mountainside from the slide on Highway 17 that was caused by the 1989 earthquake. The repairs are still holding fast today, and we comment every time we drive over the hill, there's Daddy's mountain, still intact. Our dad has always been a hard worker. In the early days, we didn't see very much of him because he worked 6 days a week. But we always felt his love and gentleness, and we looked forward to him being at home or taking us on day trips to the beach or to Lake Copperopolis or Bass Lake with friends and family. When he was home, he would make a huge pot of vegetable soup like he did on Terry's wedding day so that everybody could come back to the house and have something good to eat. Daddy wasn't the disciplinarian. Mama was. He tried, but really only when Mama forced him to, and we usually ended up laughing or, as Jan puts it, fake crying. Daddy was always busy working around the house when he was at home. He must have liked to please our mom because he allowed her to redo the kitchen with all green appliances and orange walls and flooring, which we thought was pretty hideous, but she thought it was beautiful. He remodeled the garage into a separate laundry and storage room and added a big family room, which became the hangout for family gatherings. He installed a tetherball pole in the front yard and a pool in the backyard so we would have something to play on. He planted a beautiful olive tree that's there today. He probably got that off of a job, I'm not sure, but our mother loved that olive tree. We always got excited, as the neighbor kids did too, when Daddy would drive a big dump truck home and let us pull the chain to honk the horn. He might have resented having three daughters and no sons to whom he could pass his skills to, but we certainly never knew it if he did. He was supportive, caring. He helped each of us get a car, paying for two weddings in 11 months' time, shuttling us all over the place. Daddy's been blessed with good health, and he's always been generous. We've watched him help so many people, both physically and financially, throughout the years, relatives, friends, and strangers. I believe that God has given him the gift of helps, and he has used it serving others in need. I've seen him help friends who had illnesses, Dave Nichols, Rob Taylor, Don Dryden, Arton, and plenty of others. When Jan was 4 years old, our mom had trimmed her hair and then told her to get ready to take a bath. And Jan asked if she could run the bath water herself, and Mama said yes. But right then, the phone rang. And before Mama could get there, Jan had run the bathtub full of only hot water and then decided to swing on the shower bar. And unfortunately, she fell in and was very badly burned. Burn victims get cold very easily, but Jan couldn't even stand the sheet to touch her skin. So Daddy rigged a tent in her bed using my piano bench and stretched the covers over that so she could be warm without the sheets touching her raw skin. He built Terry a doll cradle right there, which you can see. And he built Jan a rocking chair, which all of her kids, grandkids, and daycare kids have loved to use. I don't seem to have any such furniture, so I'm still waiting for mine. In 1982, our mom got the idea to move to Texas. About 20 family members sold everything out in California and relocated to the Austin, Texas area. She must have envisioned it would be like the old Dallas television program where all their kids lived on the same compound they call South Fork. It wasn't quite that way, although we did all live with them for a few weeks when we first moved there, and that was a lot of fun. Texas was hard and so hot. Work was plentiful, but the pay was not, and it was so hot. Jim and Bob and Matt formed a construction business, and Daddy did all the behind-the-scenes work. He was the estimator, the project manager, the bookkeeper, the gopher, the storyteller, Whatever needed to be done to keep things moving, that's what Daddy did. They worked night and day for very little. And Jan told me that during the weeks when no money was coming in, Daddy paid out of his savings to keep us going. Our mom's health worsened in Texas, and they soon moved back to California, knowing that her end was near. And Daddy took care of her until she died. We were so thankful when he married a sweet Christian lady named Alta, and they were happy together for 25 years almost. They traveled together after he retired, they gardened together, and he cared for her until she passed as well. Daddy was always faithful to this church, his family, both in support and attendance, using his gifts anywhere they were needed. Daddy's written some beautiful poetry over the years, commemorating various people and events in a very special way. We're happy that he's still with us at the ripe old age of 85, still independent, still plays the bass in church, doesn't hear quite as well as he used to, but he still plays, and he still helps others in any way he can, visiting shut-in friends, taking them to appointments. He's active in a swim club for seniors, and he takes senior trips on the bus with them. He goes out to breakfast and lunch all the time with his friends, and he eats dinner with us every night. He's been a good father, a good grandfather, and we are very blessed that he's with us here today. We love you, Daddy.
I should have had her write something about my dad. This is my dad, and it's only his back with his fishing cap, and he's sitting on a river somewhere, maybe the Sacramento River, and he's fishing. This is a younger picture, and this is one I had for Mom because he has that cool cap on. His name's Herman Haynes. He was born in on May the 23rd, 1927, in Verde, Kentucky, and he went on to be with the Lord December the 16th, 2015, at the age of 88 in Sacramento. My dad, too, was a hard worker. He loved the Lord, and he was faithful. He taught us, he wasn't very well educated, but he taught us how to live, how to get along in society. And he did a great job. He worked double jobs many times. I remember one time he and I were going home from church. Mom and my brother and sister weren't there, just he and I. Mike Michelson and his dad, Larry, had sang and preached. And on the way home, Dad said, "You and I ought to start practicing so we can do that." I said, "Dad, we can't sing, nor do we play any instruments." He said, "Well, it's a good idea anyway." So he was always faithful. He always wanted to do a little bit more. Before he passed away, I had a vision of building a rest home that would take care of older people and give them comfort and dignity, because I saw some things in where he was at that I didn't like, and it was hard. But he passed away before I got funded to do something like that, and still unfunded. I also appreciate Doug and Don, because these two dads have given me one of the greatest blessings of life called grandkids. Oh my goodness. And grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. That is a wonderful thing, and I appreciate both the fact that the grandkids and the young men that they are and serving the Lord, and I appreciate them a lot. Does anyone have anything you want to share about your dad? Because it's not fair if you don't get a chance to share. And as Morgan used to say, that's unfair. So if you want to share, please share. You can come here, you can stand there, you can sit there. Thank you. I love you, and I appreciate that, Becky.
I just want to share one story. Everybody knows my dad, so I don't have to say a whole lot. But mom and dad believed in discipline and not beatings, not anything like that. But they were strict. And I thank God for that, because we are who we are today because of that. But leads to my story. When we were young, we did not talk back. We did not sass. We all know that. And one day, mom and dad were at our house in Tustin, and Deanna, being the teenager she was, decided she would give me a little lip. And she had a couple of her friends there. So I grabbed her by the arm, and I said, "Don't you ever speak to me like that again." And I let go of her arm, and I turned around, and my dad was standing over there. Well, of course, she was embarrassed and mad and walked away, and Dad came over and got me by the arm, pulled me into the bedroom, and he said, "Now listen, there is no need for you to embarrass your daughter like that in front of your friend. You get disciplined without embarrassing." And I said, "Who are you and what did you do?" So that was Dad. He was a great and loving father, but his grandkids adored him. Hey, Mel.
Brother Henry.
I had a good dad and a good mom, and had 15 kids, and I'm an oldest boy. That's why I'm in California, because my dad got down and he couldn't work. They brought him home, worked on the WPA, and they had to take a third of his stomach out. And he used to run 4 miles to work, and then he'd ride 100 in a truck, open truck, going to Leesville. Things like that, you don't forget. And I remember him coughing. Of course, he smoked like a freight train. And so he was a good dad, and he worked hard when he could. But when I guess I was about 14, or he had his stomach, a third of it, taken out. And my mom, that was, she's worked more severe laid eyes on him. And she worked right along with me and my brothers, but my sister mostly. Bob's mom, you all know Bobby here. His mom used to work with me cutting wood, and we'd cut wood and make a living like that. Cut it, 10 miles to town for $4.50 a load. And that's not much money. But you split it, you cut it, split it, haul it to town, and things like that. But you know, my mom, out in the field, when I was 14 years old, I was plowing, and there come this nice car down the road, and these two ladies there, I never smelled anything that smelled better than those women did that day. They opened that door. Powder paint and all, wasn't it, you know, come out of there. But it smelled good. That's the first time I ever smelled powder and paint. My mom didn't have powder and paint on her, never. And lipstick or nothing like that. But she was better than those women, I'll tell you that any day. But when she was out there, they'd come tell me how to go to school. I said, "I can't go to school." She said, "The law says you go to school." I said, "I don't care what the law says, I'm not going to school. I have to make a living, and now I am." So they went away and then come back again. Well, this time we was laying the crop by, and my mom was running the middles out with a plow, and they came up, same women. And I told him, I said, "You see that lady there running that plow? That's my mom." I said, "If you think I'm going to go to school and let her do the plow, you're all wet." I said, "I'm not going to do it." And I got kind of mad, you know. And I said, "They're going to have the law bring me in school." I said, "You do better bring a gun, because I'm not going to school, and my mom out here plowing. So that's it. So don't couldn't do that. He had a third of his stomach taken out, and so he just wasn't able to work. But,
I said time.
Oh. Well, anyway, that's the way it ended. I came out here when I was 19, and I have supported from here. So I had a good dad.
Amen. Anyone else want to share with your dad?
Well, the few things that I would like to touch on that my dad taught me. Number one, work won't hurt you. He taught me at an early age responsibility. When we was on the farm, I was just a little bitty kid. I had chores that had to be done, or there were certain consequences. He taught me that. It didn't hurt me a bit. And he taught me to love family. That is the family was the most important thing in the world. And to me, still, I have tried to instill that into my kids, that family is very important. I appreciate my dad, even with the hardest working man I ever worked with. In fact, he and I were working together. He was a carpenter and I was an apprentice. They put me on the crew with him. He was acting foreman. I asked the superintendent to please send me to another crew. He was killing me. He didn't want to make it look like he was playing favoritism. But I loved my dad. He was a hardworking man. I'm glad for all that he taught me.
Amen. Anyone else? Man, anyone else? Let a Pentecostal church, if you wait more than 5 seconds, spirit might die. Stavita? Man. Anyone else? And I don't believe quiet kills the spirit. I think sometimes we ought to be quiet and give the spirit a chance to say something. But here it is. Anyone else want to share about your dad? We appreciate, I'm sorry, Linda. No, I just want to appreciate all these guys lined up here, and after church, come and take a look at them.
Notes to send up to the pastor if you wanted to sing. And so kids don't, you think, well, we can't let them up front all the time and everything, but he never once turned down those requests from me to sing. And for that, I'm grateful. So for my dad, he was a wonderful man, and miss him.
Amen.
But I thank God for the heritage that we have. That God, he always told us, you know, I don't have much to give you. I don't even have anything. If I pass away, I said, Jackie, you're giving us a gold mine.
Oh, yeah.
And what that you've taught us in the Lord. And I feel like that's why today that I am where I am. Because of my dad, of course, my mama, too, she put up a lot. And I thank God for both of them.
And if anybody wants to sing, send me a note. We'll let you sing, because I believe every voice counts. It's not just one or two, but every voice counts in the church. Amen. So if you want to sing, send us up a note. We'll give you the chance. Anyone else? We don't want to rush. I think we've proven that. Donnie, do you want to give out those cards? While you're sitting still, to every man, you're going to get a blessing.
Yeah. So the great singer Ray Stevens has a song called My Dad. And it says, my dad could beat up your dad, but he wouldn't. And if we had time, we could listen to it. But you can go home and Google it if you want. It's a fun song. So we picked up for the fathers $10 Starbucks cards. Just so you know, we're running the same budget we did for the flowers for the ladies on Mother's Day. But Audrey mentioned today, looking around, that we might have enough for two for each father. And then I thought, well, then we probably have enough for, well, I thought of Bobby, who's not here, and Dan, who's not here. And there's several ladies here who have fathers at home who might also enjoy Starbucks. So rather than, and don't be mad at me if you're a father here, instead of us getting two, we're going to try and make it so that every father represented either here or by a mother here can get a Starbucks card. I think we have enough to do that. So if you were going to get two and you're here, don't get too angry at me. My father taught me to be generous, so that's what we're going to do. So all the fathers here are going to get one, and if you have a father at home who might want a Starbucks card, or you want to take it for yourself, his mother, and don't tell him, that's fine too. But we have one here for you.
I have three more if you need them. Oh, thanks. I'm glad Donnie's being generous.
Bless his heart.
We used to do See's Candy all the time, and now we're trying to diversify. But we appreciate dads, and we'll see everyone back next week. Let's have one more prayer. Can't have too much prayer. Lord, strengthen us as we go. Bless everyone today. Many of us, our fathers, are with you. And we pray, Lord, that we remember them with gratitude, because you really blessed us with good fathers. We pray strength and blessing in every life. We honor you. Be with us. Go with us right now in Jesus' name. Amen.